It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Last May, Mayor Peduto led a delegation of Pittsburgh business leaders to Cuba. The goal of the trip was to lay the groundwork for establishing business relationships between the Steel City and Cuba. What could this mean for the city's economic outlook? I'm joined now by the woman who brought together the Pittsburgh delegation that traveled to Cuba, Pamela Martin. She's president of Molimar Export Consultants Incorporated. She joins us by phone from Philadelphia. Pamela Martin, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for having me, Paul.
You can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is essspgh@wesa.fm and on Twitter at essspgh. Daryl on Twitter says, as long as it creates jobs, who cares about politics? Is that pretty much the thought here, Pamela?
It is. It is. I think this will be a great, this trade mission was a great opportunity for Pittsburgh companies to get into the game. And yes, politics should be put aside. There's absolutely no reason for this embargo anymore. And I think the more people show their interest, perhaps get in touch with their congressmen, their senators, let them know that they're interested in doing business, this will be a win-win for everyone.
In a sense, has the United States really been passing up an opportunity for all of these years with every other country basically in the world that wants to do business with Cuba and travel to Cuba? They've been able to do that for the last 50 years, and we haven't. So, you know, how much, in a way, is this playing catch-up?
Oh, it's huge. We have been selling over these last few years, since about 2002. We have been allowed to sell agricultural and medical products to Cuba, but it's only been maybe about $1 billion worth, and it could have been much more. The travel agents could have had business. It is a huge catch-up. It is, but we can do it.
The Obama administration's announcement of normalization of relations with Cuba last December that this was going to happen, is that when the wheels went into motion for this trip?
Well, actually, we had been talking about this prior, just hoping to have some sort of relationship between Pittsburgh and Cuba. But this certainly got everyone very excited and got more people to sign up for the trip. So, yes, and I believe it's going to open other opportunities for Pittsburgh companies.
And how long did it take to organize the Pittsburgh business delegation to Cuba? This sounds like it was an awful lot of work.
It was. It took several months. I would say maybe 4 to 5, 6 months just to get you. First of all, I want to thank Petra Mitchell of Catalyst Connection. She was essential in all of this, getting the right companies to sign up. She knew who to target and got very excellent companies. It just turned out that they were all in the construction field. And then, of course, you have all the paperwork. It's not like just buying a ticket to go to Paris. You have a lot of paperwork to do, getting the companies to send their paperwork in, getting their visas, et cetera, making all of the hotel and all of the arrangements, the flight arrangements, and then setting those meetings up with the Cubans.
What is the extra paperwork? Why is there more paperwork required for going to Cuba?
Well, there you have to sign a travel affidavit stating that you are going under one of the 12 categories that's still allowed under, because we are under an embargo. There are still only 12 categories of folks who are allowed to go. We went under a general license, people to people. But, you know, it's not something where you can just call an airline and make a reservation and hop down to Cuba. You have to go through these travel providers, and there is extra paperwork, affidavits, and other forms that you have to fill out.
And Cuba is so close. Doesn't that just seem ridiculous?
Well, I've certainly been working on this for 16 years because I think it's totally ridiculous. There's really no reason for this. And unfortunately, the president cannot just wave a wand and end this. It has to be an act of Congress. And that's why I ask people to please let the Congressman Doyle know and our senators know that we want this to end. And this will open up, it'll just open up opportunities on both sides.
412-246-2002 if you want to join our conversation with Pamela Martin, who helped organize a Pittsburgh delegation that recently traveled to Cuba. We have Jim on the line at 412-246-2002. Jim in Squirrel Hill. Welcome. How are you?
Wonderful, wonderful. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good, good. Yes, I'm an economic development consultant from Squirrel Hill, and I've been doing consulting work in the Caribbean region for, geez, almost 30 years. And what I was going to, but there are relatively few people in Western Pennsylvania that have had successful development or consulting experiences in that region. The other one that comes to mind would be Carl Baker. But what I was going to suggest was that when you all get back from your trip from Cuba, perhaps we should arrange for those of us who have had prior successful experience in the region to sit down with you and exchange perspectives and see if we could teach each other something.
Well, this trip, what I believe you're referring to, it's already happened and everybody's back. So
I thought they were going back again. The idea was to develop a long-term strategy between Pittsburgh and Cuba.
Well, Pamela would know about that. Pamela, when is the next trip? Is there one scheduled?
There's nothing scheduled, but certainly if companies want to contact me or contact Petra Mitchell, and absolutely I'm happy to work with anyone who's interested in getting something going between Pittsburgh and Cuba.
Wonderful, wonderful.
And Jim, you should also think about calling in next Monday when we have the mayor here, and we'll bring this up.
Okay, absolutely, because I'm actually going down to Jamaica to consult some business tomorrow, so I'll be back by then. So, but I will put that in my book to call on Monday.
Okay, well, sounds like you're a bit of a traveler, too. So safe travels, and thanks for calling in here on Essential Pittsburgh. 412-246-2002 if you want to join the conversation. Also, email is esspgh@wesa.fm, and on Twitter at esspgh. John in East Liberty in an email says, while I think the warming of relations with Cuba is an overall positive development, is it really as great of a business opportunity as it is being hyped? I feel like everybody has the same great idea to make the most of this export opportunity in Cuba. Why not look at the Dominican Republic or other emerging markets? Interesting point, Pamela. Are you hearing that from others?
No, actually, I just know that people are so excited about the idea of getting into Cuba. There is export to Dominican Republic and to some of the islands. But I think that this will not be an immediate opportunity except for agricultural, medical companies, lumber, and technology companies, which are already licensed. They can already sell. But other companies, my theory is that you should get down there, start initiate the relationships with the Cubans, let them get to know you, and as it becomes legal for your products to be sold, you'll be in the forefront.
I understand.
Build those relationships.
Sure. I understand that you've been to Cuba 67 times since 1999. So has it been like having dealings with Cubans before we're even in the process of normalizing relations? And you mentioned that things have changed dramatically in the last 10, 12 years or so. But, in 1999, things were still a little more dicey, weren't they?
Yes, it was my first trips there were as a graduate student, and I just saw that the people were coming off what they had called the special period. It was after Russia had pulled out, and they had about 10 years of, they were not eating well. There were very few products. The buildings were crumbling. The sidewalks were caving in, and it was a very difficult time. Very little transportation. Very little gas for cars, if you had a car. And then you started to see as after Hurricane Michelle. The United States agreed. The United States had only offered $50,000 in aid to Cuba after this hurricane, and Fidel Castro said, you know what, keep your money, let me buy from you. And that's when we started actually sending agricultural products, and slowly they were buying corn and wheat, the essentials. And you would start to see small businesses, the little restaurants that were allowed, They started to expand. And over the years, as Raul Castro has taken over, he's allowed, I've just seen a remarkable, they're allowed to use cell phones. They have many more restaurants, many more people have their own businesses. So it's just a huge, it would probably take me several days to really talk about the changes that I've seen.
And what did you learn, though, from the experience of taking the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture to Cuba in April of 2004?
Well, that was interesting. We actually met with the buyers. We had a couple of letters of intent. We sold some dairy cattle. And we learned that that Cuba was anxious to develop a relationship with Pennsylvania, and that's why I'm happy we did this Pittsburgh trip, because this is sort of a long time follow-up. That trip was in 2004, but now we've had this trip and hopefully more. But they were anxious to look at Pennsylvania products, apples, yeah, I just think it was just an opening, and it was showing interest on both sides.
412-246-2002. Let's go to Joan in Pittsburgh, who'd like to join the conversation with Pamela Martin, president of Molimar Export Consultants Incorporated. Joan, hi.
Yes, hi there. I want to join with Pamela's comments about how important it is for us to encourage our legislators to address ending the embargo and allowing trade deals. But I also want to be somewhat cautious with businesses in Cuba, to do business in Cuba, that there is a very strong labor code in Cuba and strong trade unions protecting workers' rights. This is not going to be an opportunity to exploit workers as some companies have done in other third world countries. And it would be very important to understand the role and workers' rights and the need to protect those as well when joint ventures may be established with U.S. and other companies.
And that's a very interesting thing that you've brought up, Joan, that I don't think a lot of us think about. What do you know about the trade union situation?
I've been organizing delegations of labor lawyers.
Joan?
We lost her.
We lost her. Joan, if you can, please call back. We did not intend to cut you off. That's very interesting. Pamela, what do you know about, if you're doing business down there? And let's face it, that's a better situation for people than people who don't have someone to protect their rights as workers, certainly. We see that in Pittsburgh. This is certainly a strong union city. So are there certain workarounds or things, as Joan was starting to bring up, that businesses need to be cognizant of?
Well, you would have to get permission from what I know from the Cuban government to hire a Cuban worker. But right now, that is not what companies, we're not allowed by U.S. law to set offices up. We cannot set offices up and businesses up in Cuba. So this will be something that will have to be, I'm sure, discussed on both sides as to how we would handle that, maybe opening an office or opening a manufacturing plant in Cuba and hiring Cuban workers. I think that's all to be worked out still.
So what?
But I'm not familiar with the trade unions as they are in Cuba.
Sure, if we get Joan back, maybe we can go on to look into some of that. But in the meantime, what happens going forward? You've talked about lobbying Congress to have them approve this normalization of relations with Cuba. And once that happens, and as you mentioned, there are already some ties that have been established between Pittsburgh and the Cuban government. So what do you see coming out of this, and what do we have to look forward to?
Well, once everything is opened up, it'll be like dealing with any other country. I could see the port in Pittsburgh, perhaps shipping merchandise from Pittsburgh. I can see travel agencies, airlines, the airport will open up, and more companies will just have the freedom to go back and forth and not have to go through all this, the bureaucracy. it'll just be normal trade. And I can see it for any type of company, you know, in Pittsburgh, and you have so many. And schools, I can see good relationships with universities. I was able to establish a relationship between Arcadia University in Glenside, Pennsylvania. They have a 3-semester-a-year program. And I would like to see that happen with universities in Pittsburgh and having some interaction. Medical, you have wonderful hospitals there. You have wonderful medical schools. And Cuba, as much as they have wonderful doctors and wonderful medical schools, they need more information. And it would be wonderful to see some sort of exchange between the universities and the doctors, et cetera.
And we're going to explore some of that in our next segment with our guests who did a video art installation in Havana this summer. In the meantime, Joan is back. Sorry about that, Joan. Thanks for rejoining us.
Yes, I'm sorry. I don't know when I got disconnected or what I said that got lost.
What you were talking about? You were talking about the union situation down there, and
yes. So there are national unions that are under the umbrella organization of a Congress of Trade Unions, and they have had the opportunity to legislate many working conditions, so that they are highly skilled in some aspects. They're protected by labor laws and code, and I just would caution businesses that they don't expect to be able to go down there and exploit workers, as we've seen with some organizations and businesses going into third world countries.
Well, I would imagine that it happened before Castro, unfortunately. You look at the history of companies like United Fruit. I don't know what they did and what kind of dealings they had with Cubans, but certainly when you look at certain South and Central American countries and what American companies used to do in terms of exploiting workers, this is what you're describing is something that sounds like a positive development.
Well, and I mean, the trade unions have had a long history of, you know, before and after Castro, prior to and post-revolution. I think the new economic reforms that have come forward under President Raul Castro have given new opportunities for the trade unions to represent workers not only in organized enterprises, but the private sector employees who have obtained licenses to be self-employed. Mm. And that's one thing I think is quite different than what we see in the United States in our model of labor relations, that somebody who's self-employed doesn't have a union representing them.
Interesting.
But you know, my history over the last 14 years of working with the trade unions in Cuba has, you know, gone through a great transition from seeing it, most importantly, over the last 3 to 4 years with the economic reforms.
Thank you, Joan. Appreciate that. Let's go to one last caller. We have, I believe it's Kenya from Pittsburgh. Hi, Kenya. Welcome.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Well, I wanted to comment upon the fact that, whereas I respect the fact that the speaker has been to Cuba so many times and has been involved on the business end of things here, I think that there's too much being made of the economic reforms in Cuba. The fact is that the vast majority of the population will see very little benefit from all this investment. So the benefit is going to be on this side. But the fact of the matter is that most Cubans make $35 or less a month, and the economic reforms have excluded many people because they don't have the capital with which to start private businesses in their homes even. And in addition to that, it's likely that only those who are tied to the industries or that are directly related to any negotiations with the United States businesses, and that means state-controlled businesses, are going to be the ones to see any benefit from this. So, and that's not even mentioning the fact that, you know, it continues to be a country where there's an incredible crackdown on dissidents, on people who disagree with the system. So I applaud the fact that we have improved relations with Cuba, and I think that it is true it's going to be a tremendous business opportunity for us here and for some people there, but I think that the vast majority of the population is excluded from this for many reasons.
Pamela, what can we do with regard to Kenya's concerns? What can be done? Can the American government going forward inject some sort of policy suggestions or human rights, something that's more that spreads the wealth more among the Cuban population, some sort of stipulation that makes sure that there's more of an even distribution of profit resulting from these trade opportunities?
Well, I think that's part of the problem that we've had in the past with Cuba, that the United States trying to put either restrictions or conditions, and that's what they're fighting. The Cubans are holding back and saying, wait, we're willing to have this. We want to have normal relations, but we don't want you dictating to us. So that's something that's a situation that's going to have to be looked at, and I understand what Kenya is saying. I do know that many families, and certainly not enough, but many families do receive remittances from their American or U.S. Families. So that's been helping some of them really move forward. It is not equal. There are many people who are still behind, left behind. And I think with everything that I've learned over the years, patience, and it's going to take time to work all of this out, but I'm very excited that it's a start. We've at least made the first, President Obama made the first step.
Pamela,
this is going to take a long time.
Pamela Martin is president of Molimar Export Consultants Incorporated and organized a trip to Cuba. A delegation of Pittsburgh business leaders were there earlier this summer, including Mayor Peduto. And Pamela Martin, thank you so much for joining us by phone from Philadelphia today to talk about all of this.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Coming up, we'll talk with a couple of local college instructors who presented an interactive video art installation in Havana this summer. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. Havana,